knuckles lay together on the bed of the wag, ready for Ryan to strike the match that would set the wreckage ablaze. A Viking funeral. The killers lay where they had fallen, their stiffening corpses partly blanketed by the earlier snow.
How late will we be, Ryan?
Michael couldn't keep his hands off his new possession. Tucked into the knotted rope belt was Julio's Texas Longhorn Border Special, the small revolver that fired 6 rounds of centerfire 38s. The teenager had taken it from the saddlebags on JB's bay mare, refusing what the armorer insisted was a more useful blaster for him, Jim Jennison's 9mm Heckler & Koch 9PS model.
We're an hour or two late.
That's not much.
It's enough, Michael, when you're dealing with a man like Alfred Nelson.
So what do we do?
Light this fire and move on. See what we see and do what we do.
I do love it when you're runic, Ryan.
Hold the animals, Michael, in case the pyrotab startles them.
The tiny ignition device sparked the first time, and Ryan dropped it into the pile of old theatrical costumes piled in a corner of the wag. The pale flame flickered, and then caught. Caesar's toga blazed, and Lady Macbeth's nightgown disintegrated into flakes of charred blackness. A bag of assorted wigs and beards erupted like an emergency flare. Within minutes, the whole rig was burning fiercely from end to end.
Let's go.
Just one more minute.
JB walked away from the fierce heat of the flames, picking his way between the tangled, cold corpses of the 5 Yuma killers until he stood above the body of Jim Jennison, its gaping chest cavity blackened and crusted.
You bastard.
Dean pointed over the heavy logs of the balcony.
Look, in the woods!
Everyone turned, seeing a column of dark, oily smoke soaring into the dawn sky.
About 10 miles north. Probably nothing.
It could be Ryan and the others. If it is, then they'll be here in a couple of hours.
The sec boss didn't reply, staring out at the huge black finger that tainted the morning.
Now what?
If it's Ryan?
Of course.
Then I have to do some thinking. And him and me are going to have to do some talking.
Coburn turned away and walked back into the room, disappearing from view. Christy caught Mildred's eye and shrugged. The two men shook hands.
That's the best deal I can do. I've spoken to some people and everyone agrees. Well, most everyone agrees. One or two are for a swift hanging, but they got persuaded to think again.
2 hours from the moment we clear the front gates of the ville?
Right. Then I lead the posse out after you. And there won't be any favors, Ryan. You all get weapons and a real good meal, and then supplies for 3 trail days.
That's fair enough. Better than fair. Appreciate it.
Never figured the old Baron would have gone wolf shit crazy.
It happens. Sorry I didn't get any of the killers back here.
Shit. They're dead, and that's what matters. Seidler's death means life will be a touch easier here in Vista. You done well, Ryan.
Sure. 6 cold hearts chilled, and 3 good folks down and done for. Could have been better.
Always could. But it could have been plenty worse.
The promised meal was excellent. Ryan urged everyone to eat well, which was always common sense in Deathlands, when you never knew where your next food was coming from. There was a platter of thick-sliced smoked ham, with a dish of fried eggs and a huge bowl of hash browns. There was also trout and mushrooms, with gallons of coffee sub, loaves of bread and salted butter, and maple syrup. Coburn had been curious about where they planned to go and what they planned to do when they got there, but Ryan stonewalled all questions.
We catch you and we hang you. All of you.
I know that. You coming after us on horseback?
No. No reason to. Deep snow like this, reckon we'll be up with you before nightfall. Maybe sooner than that.
And the two men shook hands one last time. It was way below freezing, the snow packed tight and hard, and a bright sun poured down from a sky of chemstorm purplish pink. Ryan led the way, with Christy at his heels. Then came Dean with Mildred, Michael, and Doc. JB brought up the rear. Doc found the going difficult, laboring with the exertion, his breath hanging in the still air.
Altitude and I were never the best of friends. I don't suppose that it might be possible to snatch a short rest, would it?
We're going almost exactly 2 hours. The posse will be on our tracks now. We've done around 6 miles, maybe 7. If we keep moving, then we should reach the trail up to the redoubt by late afternoon. I'm sorry, Doc. We have to step it out best we can.
I could wait behind and snipe at them, slow them down some.
Be a good number of them. And Coburn's bright. He knows the land around. Could circle and cut you off. Now, Fast and Hard's the only ace on the line we got.
They're closing on us.
They'd climbed up a winding snakeback trail to a narrow ridge, and had stopped to take five. But the tiny ant-like figures of Coburn and his Sekhmen were visibly nearer.
Barely an hour. Let's go. At least we can see where we're heading now. Be at the foot of the last climb in about 2 hours.
I am most dreadfully sorry, my dear fellow, but I have reached the end of what is often called the tether. I do not believe I am able to set another foot forward.
Doc slumped on the floor, his head between his knees, fighting for breath. His face was as pale as polished ivory, and a thread of spittle trickled from the corner of his lips. Mildred knelt to examine him, checking his pulse. She looked up at Ryan, concern in her eyes.
Not so good.
They were more than a third of the way up the steep track toward the concealed entrance to the redoubt. Ryan had been pleased at the rate of progress, seeing that Coburn and his men were slowly gaining on them. Now they were probably within 3/4 of an hour of them, but the slope was almost sheer, and they too would have to slow down. Light was failing as they climbed in the lee of the mountain.
Doc, we can reach the entrance in about 30 minutes or so. Take it in short spells. Go 50 steps, then rest a while. That way you can do it.
I shall do my best. I'll lean on my cane. When the going gets impossible, then the impossible gets something or other.
One of their pursuers attempted a shot with an M16, but the bullet was wide and short. Ryan considered trying for Coburn with the Steyr, but he held off the idea. They were now within 100 feet of the ledge. Dean had slipped once in his eagerness, but Michael had grabbed him by the arm and kept him safe.
We're nearly there. You okay, Doc?
I am a degree or two less than adequate, but I believe I shall accomplish the zenith, the perihelion of... Or should that be aphelion? I always become a trifle confused.
Doc, more climb and less talk.
They made it, just as dusk was closing in across the Colorado Mountains.
By the three Kennedys. Once inside, can we snatch a rest?
Sure. Jump in the morning. We've all earned a break. How far are they, JB?
JB was peeking over the rim of the plateau. When a shot rang out, he didn't even move.
Still way off effective range. At least 3/4 of an hour, Ryan. They've slowed more than us. Going to be full dark before they get here, and they'll never break in the sectors without the number code. Impossible.
Glad we don't have to go anywhere near that big Earth shift. Home of the bleached Wrigleys.
Beware the lair of the white worm, my lad. Beware the jaws that bite and the claws that catch.
Yeah. Take an awful lot to get me around that part of the redoubt again.
Ryan pressed the number 3, then 5, and finally 2.
Open sesame.
The companions were filled with tense energy, knowing that the horrors of the past couple of weeks were safely behind them, and security lay just ahead.
What is it?
Ryan pressed the numbers again, and again. Nothing happened. The vast sextile entrance remained immovably locked against them.
Fire blast!
Deathlands Shockscape is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, Christopher Walker, Ken Jackson, Karen Carbone, Kate Torrey, Casey Jones, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton and Dan Smith. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Dan Smith, Matt Webb, Nathaniel Perry, and Brian Patton. Script adapted for graphic audio by Casey Jones. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at our brand new website, www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for exciting previews of other Graphic Audio thrillers.